Yeah, well, I suppose from that we can kick into some of the games that we've, you know, enjoyed more aside from the big names. And I will very, very briefly, just because it leads into it nicely, talk a little bit about Xenonauts.
How was that?
It's awesome.
So Xenonauts is basically, we talked about it on Arcadian Rhythms, what, back in the very beginning when we were talking about games we were looking forward to that year, and it never came out in 2011.
It did not.
And it's a kind of a smaller indie project, which is essentially, it seemed to have been created as a reaction to the fact that XCOM was going FPS, wasn't it?
I don't think so. I think that work was already underway on it before that point. I think it was initially revealed, oh God, was it? It was maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago. My memory's crappy, I may be wrong. But I think that it's been floating around for a while. And obviously work began before that. What they've had sort of playable this weekend has been a single tactical mission. It's a terror mission, which will be familiar to players of the original two XCOM games. That's basically where a bunch of aliens land in a city and attempt to kill all of the civilians before you kill them. Terror missions were notoriously horrific in the original XCOM games, especially if you made the mistake of showing up at night when you couldn't see a fucking thing. It's very familiar as someone who's played a lot of XCOM games. It's very familiar. You have basically what a Sky Ranger landing craft. You have a squad of dudes with assault rifles, shotguns, blah blah blah, and a little tank with rockets on it. And just like in the original XCOM games, they're surprisingly fragile.
Yes, mine lasted 2 turns.
I managed to shoot about. Well, I managed to shoot all of its rockets, and then it was just being used as a scout.
Mine didn't go well. Yeah. It got moved, and that's the last it did of any use before it got absolutely annihilated.
Yeah.
For reference, I didn't last very long in the demo. I got murdered quite quickly.
Oh dear.
It's exactly the sort of thing I enjoy, but it's also exactly the sort of thing I'm terrible at.
I was quite pleased that I managed to get through the entire demo, and I only lost one guy in the tank. The tank was fair enough. The guy, I didn't really understand. He just turned blue and fell over after no one shot at him. And I asked one of the chaps who was there, and he said that that's to do with people who are stunned. I don't know how he was stunned. Maybe he was just shocked that his team was doing so well.
particularly cold.
there's various things about it that are very nice. I mean, it has the aimed snap burst fire sort of stuff from the XCOM games. It also has an innovation that will be familiar to anyone who's played the Jagged Alliance games, in that you can, if you're doing an aimed shot, you can just sort of right click to increase the accuracy through expending more action points on it. And that's all handled very nicely. It's still quite buggy. Apparently they're in late alpha. They're hoping to be actually code complete in a few weeks, apparently. But there's still some glitchy stuff. I'm hopeful. Yeah, I mean, it remains to be seen. It's perfectly playable. It's great fun. All of the core stuff works. There are still some bugs. I had guys sort of walking through walls, animations not playing when...
A couple of civilians run through walls.
Yeah.
Speaking of buggy, though, how was your experience with Prison Architect?
Poor Prison Architect. I really, really enjoyed it. I managed to spend a good 20-25 minutes playing it while Peter Molyneux was talking. And the introversion stand was actually quiet. But unfortunately, I was doing the first level, which was a tutorial, and I got about... 90% of the way through it, and then the game crashed to desktop. The guys that were on the stand apologised for that, rebooted the game, said, okay, well, there's only a few other things left on that, let's go on to the next level. So I went on to level 2, and after spending 10 minutes on that, I discovered that for some reason a feature that I needed to use was greyed out, so I couldn't progress. And at that point, I had the guy who'd originally been helping me on the stand and Chris, the developer, both sort of stood next to me going, I don't understand why this is happening, what the fuck's going on? So I was quite unlucky there. But despite all of that, it's a really good fun game. Um, and I've already talked a lot about it, so I shan't continue. But I mean, I'm keen. I'm gonna keep following it, and yeah. I imagine I'll pick it up when it emerges.
I had a sit down with, and now this is going to be awful because now I can't remember the name of it. Tengami, which is very iPad. It's a charming little puzzle thing, but based around, essentially it's a puzzle game set in a pop-up book. And as you play, you control a samurai or a small, essentially two-dimensional chap,
lady,
thing,
person, who wanders around a sort of feudal Japan landscape and pulls tabs and flips bits of pages open and things in order to solve puzzles. And it's all done very nicely. You'll approach a house, it'll zoom in, you'll then flip that tab over to see the inside of the house. Where there'll be tabs that'll open doors and things like that. It's really nice. It's really sedate. It was a nice game that I actually sat down and myself and Abby, and we just kind of bounced ideas off each other, and it felt like something that you could actually contribute to as a group, and was just really charming and really nice and insane and slow and sedate, and it was one of the few things there that wasn't shoot all the aliens faster than anybody else can shoot all the aliens or all the robots.
Do you know what those platforms are going to be releasing it on?
As far as I know, it's on iPad here. I didn't get round to asking the guy. I've got a feeling it might just be iPad, but there's no reason. It wouldn't surprise me if at some point it gets ported over and ends up on something like Zura. Because it is one of those nice things that's just kind of for a few quid. It would be a nice thing to spend. I'm not sure how long it is, but it feels like there'd probably be... I mean, we sat down for 20 minutes or so and only got through two or three screens of it, but at no point do you feel like you're dragging, you know what I mean? No point do you feel like you're stuck. You're actually constantly just moving, just again, at a nice pace.
Right, so not like some of the classic point-and-click adventures.
It's not,
games,
yeah. Although there is... one of the first puzzles is a little bit... It's difficult. It's surreal and very much within the game's own rules. But it's obvious that it's not missed where you turn a cog and that does something that you don't know about. It's kind of although the ideas aren't essentially it's pulling tabs to make wolves howl in a specific order.
Right.
But the game does quite quickly make that obvious to you rather right. than just going.
It's not like in, what was the name of that game? Is it Legends of Cryandia, where, for example, to stop a rock crushing you, you had to stick a boiled sweet on your head?
That sort of thing, yeah. Right. Exactly that. It's not that.
There was a game up there that is exactly that, but for good reason.
McPixel.
Yeah. McPixel was awesome. Did you play any of that?
No. It's one of the things in the indie area. It's always been really, really busy when I've got there.
Right.
Basically...
It looks a bit like what Half Minute Hero was doing for JRPGs, but for point-and-click adventures. So a level lasts 20 seconds. At the end of that 20 seconds, everything blows up and everyone dies. So within that 20 seconds, you've got to figure out which items to pick up combined with what, use on what, in order to escape the explosion. So you might be in a lift, in an aeroplane, inside a whale in one level.
And the whale blows up.
The whale blows up.
Yes.
That one I solved. You have to get a brick from somewhere. Oh, there's an old guy who looks like Jesus, and you've got to get the brick from Jesus and then throw it at the whale's blowhole to clear the thing so that the pressure doesn't build up and then you can escape the explosion.
I'm starting to wonder if you've been at Rez or some sort of fever dream.
And then you've got to do like six of these in a row, and you've got to do them all perfectly in order to get a big white block. And then once you've got three big white blocks, something happens. I didn't get that far. And then, because it's really hard to do in 20 seconds, because you have no idea what to combine with what or whatever.
I saw a lot of people kicking people in bollocks. That was the main interaction, was kicking people in the bollocks.
Yeah, if you pick up any kind of item and then use it on a person and it's not right, what the character will do will be to find an interesting way of using that item on that person. So I think I picked up a fire extinguisher and tried to use it on a postman. I can't remember why. I was panicked. I think he just swung the fire extinguisher and knocked the guy's head off, and it rolled off down the street.
That sounds incredible. I'm really, really regretting the fact that I didn't get a chance.
And then basically, anyone that you fail, you will inevitably play again, like 2 minutes later.
All right,
when it cycles back around. So anything that you mess up and get hit in the explosion, you move on to the next level, but after a few levels it'll cycle the one you failed back in. So you have another go and see if you can figure it out the second time. No.
Okay, that's good, because I was about to say, I can imagine that getting really terrible where you figure out a puzzle but there's one you can't.
Yeah, and you've got to keep cycling through the other five.
You already know, just go,
well,
oh, fuck's sake,
yeah. I don't think you play the ones that you've already figured out. You might do, but if you do, well, anything you figured out you can complete in 3 seconds.
Right, okay.
And it's got that sort of Super Meat Boy no loading screen stuff. Oh, that's where awesome. There's like, it's just nothing, it's just bam 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 bam. One thing that was weird about it, though, it had no sound effects of any kind. It had a sort of 10-second long chip tune that just was on repeat, and there was nothing else from the audio channels at all.
And
I don't know if that was
a finished game. Or
I couldn't tell.
It was, to be fair, there's a lot of stuff in the Left Field collection that, what was it, Pop Me?
Oh god, yeah, Pop Me, the weird box puzzle shooting, well, Vietnamese.
Spaceship launching.
Yeah. That game was weird.
I couldn't get it to start. I couldn't get past the title screen.
Potter actually finished the box signing puzzle that seemed impossible.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, but basically he figured out what seemed to be the
Is that why he no longer wants to speak to the world? Is that why he's not here?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, he saw Peter Molyneux's penis after he got the box signing puzzle done, basically.
I can only imagine it's like the end of an Event Horizon when you solve it.
Although he said that basically it seems just to be a massive head fuck, and you just keep sliding the puzzle around until a counter goes down, and then when the counter goes down, it just auto finishes for itself. So there's no actual real solution.
That's why the score kept going down. Right? Okay. It still doesn't explain any of the content within that game.
No.
But, right.
But by contrast, Potter loved that game. He thought it was great.
To be fair, I played it because he was stood by it going, play that, it's insane.
It's definitely insane. I actually got to play a game which was actually opposite McPixel, hence why I saw lots of people kicking people in bollocks. But it's a game which I can't pronounce because it's not supposed to be, and it's made by Matt James of Matt James from Hermit Games, and it's called Kurth Phil, I think, and I made Sean play it as well.
I played it as well.
Yeah, it's got this. It's basically Matt James made Leave Home, which is one of these kind of. Leave Home was awesome because it was a procedural game in the sense that the better you played, the harder the game got, and then when you died, it got easier again, and so you had infinite lives, and then you got to the end, and there was actually if you could beat the bosses, it was kind of freak ending thing that was really awesome. But the main thing was the procedural nature of the game meant that you could keep playing it, and the better you got at it, the harder you get and more challenges you get. And Kurth Phil, it's two words.
I think it's pronounced Quetzalcoatl.
Damn you. But it's spelled Qrth space Phyl.
Henceforth, the game.
Yeah, the game. The game is basically Snake in 3D. It's got the same visual style as Leave Home. It's just kind of almost neon, almost Geometry War style thing to it. And there's a really great moment because in the beginning you're just on a kind of sort of 2D plane and you're moving your essentially snake across to pick up these blobs. But then it does the first time that this happened to me was, so I call it doing a Psychonauts, which is, if you've ever seen the opening to Psychonauts, which is basically the press start screen, Raz walks over this brain and you stop and you look at it and then you realise you're actually in control of Raz and he can walk around this brain in front of the initial interactive state, and it's really like, oh my god, this isn't such a nice touch. And in Kurth Phil, the game, the moment you reach the edge of this 2D plane, it just climbs over the other side of the 2D plane and it's basically, you realise it's 3D. And then when it does, and another great moment is that when you completed all that, there's a little hole and you go to the hole, and then at that point it pulls out and becomes actually 3D, so you're actually exploring a 3D world. And that's a really nice, like, awesome moment of, like, whoa, that's a really nice feel, and it works really well. And it does seem to be procedural, and I don't know what the elements depend on, but yeah, as you play, you won't really play the same level again, because they will change things and elements.
So adding blocks, there's more laser pellets.
Exactly, there's all more, like, things thrown up. But what I was really chuffed about is the fact that I sat down and you had the two snobby nerds come, and as I was playing, oh, it's nice visuals, they went, Oh, so basically it's Snake in 3D, I see. Oh, very well. And sat down and was destroyed in about 2 minutes, and I was still happily playing. I was like, fuck you. Gaming bitch.
Funnily enough, actually, I think there was two guys having that exact conversation by me while I was playing it. Yeah. Maybe it was the same guy. Maybe that's what they've done this weekend.
Maybe this is like Hermit Games' publicity thing. He just has hired two guys to come down and go, oh, it's basically Snake in 3D. Just to make you angry and feel sorry for the... I'm not buying this now. Well done. Well played, Hermit Games.
I'm happy to know that, according to Sean, in the AR Quiffful, the movie, the game, two leaderboards, I'm at least second. I believe AJ stomped him with what, 1200 points, was it?
I think yeah, you got about 1200.
Yeah, the first attempt I got about 1700 in the first attempt.
Okay, I think I finished on about 1000.
Yeah, I got 750.
Yes!
Let's go.
I only have a single go. Oh no, sorry, I did have two goes. Oh, well.
That's two indie games that I suck at. Although at least with Quetzalcoatl I was able to start it.
On that note then, Catapult for Hire. A game that we both suck at.
Actually,
just the moving bit.
Yeah, the moving bit is very difficult. Catapult for Hire has you controlling a catapult, unsurprisingly. Basically, the actual levels of the game involve trying to ping different types of projectiles at different targets, and you alter the power of the shot on the X and Y axis, and obviously a catapult has a parabolic arc to its trajectory.
So firing rabbits.
Yeah, that is a thing. You fire rabbits at things you don't necessarily want to break, because rabbits are quite light.
They're also good for range fire.
So why not just don't fling anything at them?
Because you might need to fling something else. You could also attach a parachute to the rabbit.
Right.
Should you need or want to.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot more to the game. I mean, there's a lot of scope within the UI for different projectile types, but some of the ones that they had in the demo included lanterns, which you have to fling into certain areas in entirely dark environments to try and find what you actually need to target. And the aforementioned parachutes, which are pretty cool in that when you're trying to fire rocks through a series of sort of pilot wing style marked circles, at points you need to sort of trigger the parachute so that it will drop down through some that you otherwise wouldn't be able to get with a single shot, or past a windmill. So you kind of fire forwards, you activate the parachute catches the wind and then drifts sort of a bit to the left or what have you, and catches the other two objectives. And it seemed like it actually had quite a bit of conceptual variation in that relatively simple initial mechanic. I was quite charmed by that. Although the writing is dreadful.
It's such an indie game, isn't it? Oh, look how cute and charming I am.
Yeah.
It's like Innocent Smoothies did the writing.
They actually have Innocent Smoothie faces on the characters as well.
Yeah. Did anyone play the 2D Portal game?
The 2D Portal game. What was that called?
That's how bad it was. Well, I'm taking that back. It was really nice, but you play a scientist who has a portal gun, and it's all in a 2D.
Gateways.
Game. Huh? Well, that was all right, but again, unfortunately, it's as soon as you start playing, it's like, oh, this is Portal in 2D.
Yeah.
So I was kind of sad about that.
And Portal 2D does exist. Portal the Flash game.
Yeah, and I think that was the same thing. As soon as you guys were like, oh, this is an indie game, when I was playing Gateways, I was like, this is an indie game, and it made me really sad.
As opposed to something like Pop, which is just
head fuckery.
Yeah. Someone's just punched a keyboard for hours and gone, game, there you go. Enjoy that.
Yeah. Make of it what you will.
There does need to be a new name for the genre of game that is currently just called games that wouldn't exist without Portal, because I don't want to start calling them Portal-alikes or Portal clones or anything like that.
Yeah.
But there needs to be some sort of thing for, because there's about five of them here today.
First person experimental physics sim for peps. Done. There we go.
Yeah.
Potatoes.
Heard it here first.
And only.
Any other games
we got? I finally got to play a bit of Proteus.
Proteus is really nice.
Yes, it's very lovely.
That's the one mentioned on Electron Dance.
With that beautiful thing with Joel's son.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, it's essentially an explorer map. I only played a little bit of it, and in that time I was able to find a flock of birds which I followed, and they led me to a stone circle, and they started flying around it, and I went inside the stone circle and weird stuff happened, and I'm sure the game has a lot of moments like that.
It needs to be stressed as well that like Proteus is really fascinating because it's so like lo-fi in sort of the way in which it visually presents everything, but it's still really charming despite it not really being any kind of pushing of any kind of graphical thing. It does look really nice without actually being particularly like.
But the fact that they, I mean, the thing, did you have, and this is going to sound ridiculous, did you at any point experience a gust of wind? And just to see the leaves in the trees move and go, oh wow. Because with them comes that low rumble in the sound, especially if you're looking at the sun at the time.
Yeah.
Because the sun brings those chiming bells. I enjoyed it just as a music technology sound nerd.
Yeah.
Wandering
yeah.
around, looking at the sun, not looking at the sun, looking at the tree, not looking at the tree, standing on the sand, moving onto the grass, and just the different sound textures and things you created with it.
I mean, I did enjoy a lot of the sort of the different sort of ambient sounds, but I didn't pick up on anything as grand as that. I mean, I tried to identify audio cues and pursue them to try and find cool stuff. Although I think we both found it was actually a bit distracting because Proteus was unfortunately set up right next to the XCOM presentation. So
yes,
every so often there's just explosions and aliens screaming, and it's not really conducive to a chilled out exploration.
It's like trying to masturbate while your mother sings in the room next to you.
Imagine it might. that I've ever experienced that.
While your mother sings Cannibal Corpse songs.
Yes!
I think for the record, she's showing that Stan's girlfriend is covering her face, trying not to completely die of laughter.
trying to deny any association with me, I think, is more accurate.
I think she's laughing because she's remembering when that actually happened.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Listening to my mum saying fucked with a knife. Yeah.
I've always been more of a fan of prosthetic cunts. fucking your daughter with a frozen vomit fuck stick is more of a catchy jingle for me, really.
The sort of thing you'd want to hear while masturbating to experimental indie games. Excellent.
So you didn't say there was only indie games involved in this. This story's getting far more.
This is us developing the tagline for Proteus.
Right.
This is going on the back of the box.
I played Trash TV as well, which is... Trash TV is an indie puzzle game in which you pick up things and put things down.
That sounds great.
That's all I could say.
Like a video game.
Seemed all right. Mm. Seemed like decent fun. Gunpoint I didn't have opportunity to play here, but I have played a release that Tom Francis released a while ago. Did anybody get opportunity to play?
I did not get a chance to play Gunpoint.
No, I'm
is it good?
After this.
Gunpoint is brilliant. Have you ever played Art of Theft, the Trilby game made by Yahtzee?
No, I haven't.
Right, well, essentially what Gunpoint is you are a man with a predilection of jumping through windows. Essentially it's a heist game. But you can hack into the electronics or the electrics of the building and do things like, for example, for reference, I'm pointing at a socket over on the wall, that you could make that socket control a light upstairs or a different door or a lift. So you can start doing things like, for example, you can wire the doors so that when the guards hit the panel to use the doors open, allowing you through, but then hits the guard in the face, knocking them out. And you can wire these up. Each level's got numerous different ways of completing them, to kind of ridiculously over elaborate things where you end up trapping all the guards in one room to just essentially, and again it does suffer a little bit, I think, from that thing you were talking about, Subversion, before, where there was a little bit in this, I should stress, I played a really early version of it, you could just kind of go, right, well, that guard's going to open that door into his face, done. But it's a great game.
So it's an imagination thing. If you don't have the imagination, you can solve puzzles in a really straightforward manner and just go done.
Yeah, but there's probably scope. There's probably scope to create just incredible Rube Goldberg machines that could do things in just. I can foresee there being YouTube, almost the opposite of speedruns.
Right.
Who can create the most ridiculously over the top, imaginative, ludicrous way of completing the level?
See, because this is what I would hope is that there's somehow they've built into the core mechanics a way to encourage people to do that. Because one of the things that Silent Hill, Hitman.
Yeah.
And those games, what Hitman did was, there were some missions you could just run in, shoot the guy, run back out as quickly as possible, but everyone would see you. That would affect, I mean, especially in the last why do I keep saying Silent? I have no idea. last Hitman, one of the best things about it was is that, yeah, you could do it in the most boring and banal way, which is run up to guy, shoot guy in face, walk out, and shoot everyone as you're going. But the game really encouraged you to try out the more elaborate things. So I would hope that Gunpoint does that.
You do get, your missions are given, and they have quite nice ways of kind of things like try not to take any guards out and things like that. Which I think you're given. There's a whole shop that you can buy items that'll let you fall further and let you do different things. And you do get a financial reward for completing missions in certain ways.
Okay.
And I think just the way it's quite nice to actually play with. You go into the hacking mode and you just kind of drag and drop wires, and to anyone like me anyway, who spent a lot of time playing things like Armadillo Run and Dwarf Fortress, any game with systems in that, you can start to see my brain starts to go, and it does almost encourage you yourself to fiddle with things, and also it does that brilliant thing where you reach a point where you go, I've screwed this, you exit out of hacking mode, the guards start moving again and just all demolish each other. Also it's got more jumping out of windows with guards and then punching them to death.
Like it.
Yeah, also, another great thing it did, and this is just a tiny thing that I really enjoyed in the demo, it teaches you the kind of tackle mechanic, and then it says, right now, click to punch. So you click to punch, and it doesn't say anything. So you keep clicking, and then it kind of says, yeah, you only need to do that once. You can probably stop now. Yeah, no, that guy's dead. And apparently the opening doors thing was apparently completely emergent, and actually the game just kind of produced that itself. Which is awesome. I think he kind of set so you could open doors into guards' faces, but the first time he went, we're fine. But no, Gunpoint is a great game, and it seems to be a lot more finished now, the version that's been played upstairs, because it was a bit chonky in places, the version I was playing, but it looks great, and I'd recommend that anybody goes and plays it, especially if you enjoy Art of Theft. Check it out.
I don't know if anyone wants to pipe in with any other games, but I kind of really very quickly want to shout out for Skulls of the Shogun. It's coming out from this probably the worst place for Skulls of the Shogun to be shown, because they had Xenonauts and XCOM, which are both basically turn-based strategy games of a larger scope and that are tied to a much bigger legacy. And so Skulls of Shogun, which is essentially a turn-based strategy game, is really trying to do something different with turn-based strategy. You control samurai, undead samurai warriors, and the way in which movement, it's not based on a hex, it's not based on action points, but on a circle sphere, like a circle of influence, which you can move around inside. And it actually, the tactics that it builds up actually work very much like a match three puzzle game. So for example, you can line three guys up and they create what's called like a spirit wall. And those spirit walls have all different kinds of effects. Like, you can't force your way through a spirit wall. Archers can fire over spirit walls at enemies, and enemies can't return fire at them through spirit walls. Each of the units has very specific abilities, and you have to learn how to stack things to basically destroy enemies without getting responses, and then collect their skulls, because the skulls basically power up all of your units. They give them health, but then after three, they get extra attack bonuses, all kinds of other stuff, which is really cool. And it's a really nice idea. It's really fast-paced. The multiplayer looks awesome, and there's a lot of moments of, oh, fuck you, in the multiplayer, which I think is really nice. But it's being undermined by, quite simply, there are big, higher-caliber names in the show floor, and also it looks really cartoony, and lots of people think it's an RTS, and there's tons of RTSs on the floor as well. So it's really unfortunate. And the other thing that's really got going against it is it seems that everyone who's asking them is asking them exactly the same thing, which is, why is it that you are exclusively releasing this on Windows Phone 8 and not on anything else except for that and XBLA? And they're like, well, those are the platforms we've got announced so far, but we might have some more later on. They're like, yeah, but why are you doing that? Yeah. And no one's like your game, awesome. Just everyone is just bitching him out for like the way
that sounds like he's dying for an iPad release or something like that.
Yeah, well, exactly.
There's someone playing on a tablet upstairs.
Yeah,
that must be the tablet running Windows 8, though.
Yeah,
I didn't
I think
there
so,
was one.
Yeah. But it's really unfortunate because it's just it's a really fun game. It's really console friendly as well, which is it's what makes games like Greed Corp so much fun, is that it's so easy to get into, and anyone can pick it up and figure it out, and you'll be off in like no second. But then a guy came and sat down next to me. He was obviously I've been following this game for about 2 years. And he came down and sat next to me, and as I was doing stuff, he's like, "Shh, you could do that and that." And that, and as he was explaining the more things I could do, like the level of like tactics was expanding massively. I mean, I didn't need to; I could still have beat that by simplified them, but I could have beaten it better with the tactics he was showing me. So yeah, I just want to kind of like, you guys should check it out. It's going
to
be really fun.
Awesome! It will need to come out on something that
you can play on.
But yeah, what was I going to say? One other thing: Borderlands for their Claptraps love letter to the PC, etc., etc. Mm. All pads.
Mm. Yeah. Actually, yeah, this is something that I was going to mention in the context of Far Cry 3, because that was also pads. And I actually wanted to mention this in the context of the fact that it was such a linear demo, which is not what you'd really expect. But it was actually the E3 demo, and I assume the same is true of a lot of the other sort of high-profile releases. They're basically the same demos that they were giving at E3.
The Gearbox rep told me that the reason they were running Borderlands 2 on consoles was because they care so much about the PC that they weren't willing to show it yet.
Was that actually the console version that was running them?
Yeah.
See, that's quite good because it looks incredible as well. It's Borderlands had that great art style, but there was an awful lot of rough edges and a lot of...
Agreed, but I mean, that was a lot to do with the fact that the art style kind of got seemed a bit chucked in.
Oh, yeah. Because I know a friend of mine got really, really put off by it, because I showed him the game, and he's a fan of Diablo and things like that, but he'd probably like this. And he went, "It looks half finished." I went, "Well, yeah, it probably is, but it's really good fun." And like, it's one thing I'm going to be interested to see is... vehicle physics, and if there's any in this one, as opposed to whatever those were in the first one. But I'm amazed that's the console version, because it looks incredible.
It does.
It's
really
so
good.
Rich, so good looking.
I think we should pretty much close it out. This is going to be edited down, but yeah. I think it's probably time to kind of call it close.
Yeah, so. Especially because I need to go get some food and then go back to North Wales, where it rains.
Doesn't rain in Brighton.
Fact.
Well, thanks everyone, and thanks everyone who's listening to this. Bye.
Hi, Matt.